Okay, welcome back now to this portion of Open Lines right here on our Christmas show on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, this is Dean Galante, the operations manager for Coast to Coast AM, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and many blessings in 2011.
Well, thank you, Dan. To those of you who don't know, Dan keeps us on the air, puts us on the air, and does all the work in between. Thank you very much, Dan. Happy holidays to you and your family as well. Open lines now this hour. Let's go to the phones. Edward in Arcadia, California. Get us started, Edward. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you, George.
Thank you.
As you know, I've been involved with parapsychology and psychical research for decades. This year, I'm kind of having the Christmas blues.
Why? How come?
Unfortunately, a dear friend last week, Thursday, passed away from battling cancer.
Bad timing. Of course, there's never any good time for that, is there?
No, but it seems to be that things happen for a reason, and sometimes you just have to go with the flow of it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, why I'm bringing this up is it does have a Christmas twist to it.
Okay.
Monday, she went into the hospital, and the neighbors and I didn't know what happened. We were looking for her for 72 hours. We didn't know what hospital she was located. About 72 hours later, her cousins knocked on my door trying to locate her, and then they told me that they found her and that she was right on death's door. And I said, oh, then you know all about what's happening to her. And they said, no. They said the reason they came to my door to let me to inform her that her mother died Monday, the same day that she went into the hospital. They didn't even know.
Oh, and you had to tell them?
Yes.
How bizarre.
I rushed to the hospital, and I saw her in the intensive care, and I placed my hand on her, reassuring that I will do what I can for her. And there was nothing more I could do. I left. About 20 minutes later, she expired. So going into the weekend, I'm feeling kind of bummed.
Sure.
And I decided, go with my girlfriend to see a movie. So we went to a multiplex. And I go to the multiplex, and guess what's playing? Hereafter, the Clint Eastwood directed movie.
Yep, he's good.
Okay. Now I knew very little about it, so I decided to go in and check it out. So as I'm watching this, the character that Matt Damon is playing almost mimics me. And my girlfriend is looking at Matt Damon on the screen. She's looking at me back and forth. She's saying, do you know anything about this movie? This character is so much like you.
It's you, yeah.
You know, so I said, well, I got to check this movie out. So I did some research, and surprisingly, the similarities were just uncanny. So I noticed I get into the focus of his the character's obsession with Charles Dickens. And it comes back to me, okay, what does Charles Dickens have to do with all this? So I did some research, and the character that's in the movie, one of them is called Deedler, or Diddler, which is actually a tribute to the famous French medium psychic Alexis Diddler of France.
Huh.
And in further reading, I found that May of 1841, he had an audience with none other than Charles Dickens. Hello?
The synchronicity is bizarre.
Yes, and it continues. So a couple of days later, there's an actress friend of mine who was also friends with this lady, and we're having a discussion of her her belongings. What are we going to do with her belongings? Because she has no family, and everything else has been how to disperse it.
Oh, what a mess! Huh?
So you know, as we were discussing, all of a sudden she goes into the dialogue of the rag pickers. And I'm looking at her, I'm saying, rag pickers? She says, rag pickers, Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. And now she didn't know that about the movie and the character obsessed with Charles Dickens.
There's a whole message here for you there, Edward.
Oh, I mean, I've done this stuff for decades. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you know, it's a way to try to get you through this holiday season, and you know, you got to just hold on and do what you do. The signs are obviously all out there for you. Now we're going to our next line. This says from a secret location. Let's go to this one on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
I am so disgusted, Mr. Norrie.
It's JC. You mean you can't even call and wish me a Merry Christmas?
Well, why should I call and wish you a Merry Christmas when I've listened to this entire... This is JC, by the way, God's 10-star, 10-star,
yeah, well,
10-star.
I figured that was you. You probably spent the night knocking out Christmas bulbs from people's houses.
As a matter of fact, I did. Just in case you didn't know, who was calling to tell you what time the business is? But I'm getting back to the point of why I am disgusted. No, this entire show, I've heard nothing but talk of Santa Claus this, Santa Claus that. And I am so disgusted that no one has even said, Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Well,
no one has even taken
been a couple of those. People have called in, and Jesus' name's come up a couple
of
times.
Oh, no. It'd be like if someone threw a party for you and all they did was talk about Glenn Beck. How would that make you feel? You would feel disgusted, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't be disgusted. If Glenn was there, I'd say hi to him. He's a friend of mine.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you what Santa is. It's an avatar for Satan. It is the prince of hell in the flesh. Santa Claus is all the dead with sins wrapped up into one bundle and sold to the American public. Look at him. He's a fat slob who can't take care of himself, for one thing. He's an alcoholic drunkard.
JC, bottom line is you're upset because you still can't find Edna. Aren't
oh,
you?
No. Let me get to that. We are almost to, I have a little Christmas miracle of my own. I have been in contact with Edna. I have been.
She's been talking to you?
On my Facebook page, she sent me a poke, and I think that's progress.
Well,
I think we're getting close to bringing her home. But
she may have laughed at you with that poke.
I don't know, but I know that we're getting close to bringing her home. I'm telling you, I can feel it in my soul that the Lord has told me we're working on her, and I've been a little under the weather lately because getting all the free flu shots I could get.
No, JC.
I got 137 flu shots.
Oh, my God. You.
Well, they're free, and if one's good for you, I figure that 137 will make you healthier.
Oh, JC, haven't you been listening to this program over the years?
No, I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what you say, but this is what happened, is the Soviet agents replaced the flu vaccine and put the live flu virus in there, and it's made me sick. I was ill for days.
I'm lucky you're still walking around.
You know why I'm still around? Because I am God's 10-star general, and God healed me. That's the thing. People don't understand how tough Christians really are. This is what I want to get to. As we were about to have a war with North Korea, but you know what happened? You know what backed them down?
What did?
That's when they put up that big old giant Christmas tree and that cross and said, we believe in Jesus. That scared the hell out of them North Koreans. They decided to think twice about doing that over their kimchi, and then they decided we don't want a war with America. Uh-oh. And so they backed down because they knew the South Koreans are Christians.
JC, why don't you wish us all a Merry Christmas? That would be nice.
Well, I don't think I have to take orders from you. How dare you, sir? I'm gonna wish Jesus a happy birthday. How about that?
Have a good one, JC. We'll probably talk to you in the new year, no doubt. JC, now calling from a secret location, refuses to tell us where he is or what he has been up to. Unbelievable. Oh, well, we're going to continue with open lines. Look. Many years ago, when I was a little boy, my mother grabbed me aside, sat me down on the couch next to her, and said, I want you to watch this movie, Georgie. And I did. It's a Wonderful Life. It was and continues to be one of the most inspirational movies I have ever seen. I hope you have had a chance over the years to see it, because number one, Christmas wouldn't be the same without it. And more importantly, I don't think your life would be the same without it. There is a message here of an individual who wanted to take his own life, and his guardian angel saved him. The guardian angel jumped into a creek or a lake and a river, and Jimmy Stewart jumped in to save the guardian angel just before he decided to kill himself. And the premise of the whole film was, what would life be like without you? And it was a classic. It did not make it big at the movies. It got better as more and more people watched it years and years later. It's tradition here. Here's a clip.
To me. Get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Clarence, please. Please. I want to live again. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again. Hey, George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You...
George.
Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you...
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding!
Zuzu's petals! Zuzu!
There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls!
In jail.
Go on home. They're waiting for you.
Mary! Mary! Mary!
Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner. How are you?
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas. Reporters, where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary! Mary! Have you seen my wife?
Mary? Mary, 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 Mary.
Kids! Pete! Oh. Kids, Janie! Janie, Tommy!
Look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
We're looking for you.
With Uncle Billy.
Zuzu, Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Fine. Not a smidge of temper.
Not a smidge of temper. Hallelujah.
Hello. George.
George, darling.
Where are you?
George, darling. Where are you?
Oh, George. No, George. George. George.
Oh, my God. Are you real?
Oh, George. George.
Well, you have no idea what happened to me.
I have no idea what happened. Well, come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick, we're on their way.
All right.
Come on. Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening?
Oh, I hear them coming in. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
What's happening?
Who's going to come, Daddy?
Who, Daddy?
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody. In here.
George.
Mary did it, George. Mary did it.
Jack, she told some people you were in trouble. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said George in trouble. And tell me, you
what is it?
Now, get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright. As soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
And the boy cried.
Yes, and when we come back in just a moment, more open lines. Okay, we've got more open lines for you right here. Christmas Day now on Coast to Coast AM.
One of my favorite times of the year. Hi, this is producer Tom, and I'm wishing everyone a great holiday season and the best in the coming new year.
Well, thank you, Thomas. Let's go to the phones now. First of all, let's go to Bellevue, Washington. Key, have you been waiting for an hour and a half to get on, Key?
I'm not sure. Time went by so fast. You know how that happens.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I have a miracle story that was just amazing. It didn't happen on Christmas, but it had to do with the direct prayer to Christ. And since this is his day, I thought it'd be appropriate. When I was around 26, my mother-in-law had a stroke, and I was going to have to start taking care of her. And during that time, I was drinking and smoking cigarettes, and I realized very quickly that I'd have to stop doing all of that to be able to function, to take care of her, plus the kids, plus the husband and all that. And so I prayed and prayed, and I would stop for 6 months and then start again, and stop for 2 months and start again. Then one night my sister held a prayer meeting. It was a woman's prayer meeting, and we got together, and I was going to take this opportunity to gather more than two, you know, rarer two are gathered in his name, and, you know, see if I could get this extra help. Well, when I got there, as the prayer meeting went on and we were doing our circle, it came upon me, rather than to pray for me to stop smoking and drinking, I prayed for peace. And I had an experience that was way out there. My eyes flipped back and I started crying, weeping, and then I started laughing and I couldn't open my eyes. And it was like amazing, because from that moment on, I didn't smoke or drink. It was just like automatic. And I still to this day believe that it happened because I prayed for someone else. It was kind of interesting.
Absolutely. It seems to happen, Key, all the time, that when you're not asking for yourself, it seems to come for you. It's very strange. You know, I've helped people out of some little financial problems. I never expect to get it back. Yet it comes back somehow in a totally different way. And it's strange. I just don't know how it works that way, but it does. Let's go now to Pikes Peak, Colorado. And Pikes Peak, hey, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Yeah, it's Phil.
It's UFO Phil, George. How are you?
Phil, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for everything you've done.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for everything that you've done, George. I wanted to call you, first of all, just to say Happy Christmas, but also to tell you about something that's absolutely incredible that I just discovered.
What happened?
Well, George, as you know, knowing me and being my best friend, you know that I'm not the kind of person who believes in crazy, fantastical types of things that don't exist.
Yeah,
I'm a man of science, George.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And that's why I've never before ever believed in Santa Claus, George. As sad as it sounds, I never have. Okay? But something changed tonight, George.
You saw him, didn't you?
Not yet. Not yet. But it could happen at any time. Listen to this. You know I'm on Pikes Peak, and NORAD is right next door. They're on the other mountain.
That's right.
Actually, through my bathroom window, I can see into their bathroom window, which is kind of creepy, but I try to do that.
That is, knowing you might have a telescope on them. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so I'm able with my transceiver to listen in on their top secret discussions over there, George, especially if I turn my heater off and it gives it extra power and I can really hear it clearly. Okay? And I intercepted a discussion tonight. You're not going to believe what they were saying, George.
What were they saying?
Can I keep a secret?
Yeah.
Okay. I found out NORAD is tracking Santa Claus, George. They are tracking him in the sky. And apparently they've been doing this for years.
Phil, George.
We've got
a link to NORAD. We're tracking Santa on the coasttocoastam.com website. We've been doing
that. But you didn't even tell me, George.
Phil, I've been talking about it all night.
How did I miss that? I guess because I was listening into NORAD.
You have to go to the coasttocoastam.com website. You just click it, and you can see Santa's tracking. He's going all over the world.
Can you actually see Santa?
Well, you can't see him, but there's just like a little radar thing you're looking at.
This is incredible.
Yeah,
between you and NORAD, you've made a believer out of me.
Yeah, well, he's true. Phil, you have a great Christmas, my friend.
Okay, George, I'll talk to you in 2011.
There he is. UFO Phil. Let's go to Tina in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Tina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. I've been listening to you since early, I think since Dr. Laura was on. And I've been listening to, a long time since BC, and now I moved to Ontario.
That is a long time. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always, I love your voice, and I love the old school you always put on. I sleep on it all the time. But sometimes you scare me, because sometimes when I hear that, shadows, and I said, oh, my God, because I live alone nowadays.
Well,
and
we don't want to scare you, but things are happening, you know.
I know, and really, because I believe on miracle, because early 90s, I sponsored my family, and I used to pray. I sponsored 6 of them by my own. And everybody's asking me, how did you made it? How did you made it? I don't know. I said, I used to pray and meditate. And I made them here. And they were orphaned. They're from Africa because my brother passed away and their mother. So they're here. And then after that, so when I moved to Ontario, then I lost my job. Then I get back my job again. And I just keep the sense of humor. And
well,
I always, yes, and I always love to listen to you because I listen to all this because I'm a spiritual person too.
You seem like you are. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just and nowadays what I do is just like I'm a part-time job, and I'm hoping. I says I wish I get a car. Now I'm praying for car. I wish because it's cold now, and sometimes I said, oh my God, shall I go back to Africa and run to Africa? It's nice and warm there.
Stay in Canada. Stay in the United States.
I know.
In North America.
I get
this
used to be in North America since 20 something years I've been around. So I went a couple times to visit, and I just I'm different.
That's good. You got a great accent, by the way. I like
Thank
it.
You.
All Thanks. Right, Tina. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, you be well. Indeed. I love that. I really do. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. george@coasttocoastam.com. By the way, I'm still waiting for an email from the woman who wants to do a internship with St. Jude's. If you would still send me that email, you called me a couple weeks ago. I can get that in the hands of some people I know, and they can get to work on that for you. And in terms of my schedule, I'll be back in Los Angeles on January 10th with the program, January 11th. And Lee Allen, great broadcaster from Detroit, has left everyone with this Christmas present.
Merry Christmas, everybody. My name is Lee Allen, and the story you're about to hear has become a Christmas tradition. It's been broadcast for over 25 years on radio stations all over America. The story was given to me by Ed Hardy, news director of a radio station much like this one. It was a copy of a letter written by a young Marine named Michael, who was hospitalized after being wounded on a Korean battlefield. The letter was written home to his mother, but it was first seen and read by a Navy chaplain. In the letter, Michael describes what happened to him on that lonely, frozen battlefield. When the chaplain first saw the letter, he talked with the boy's mother, the sergeant in charge of the boy's patrol, and the patrol members themselves. Privately, they will all still tell you that what you're about to hear is a true story. We simply read the letter at Christmas time and let it stand on its own merit. The sergeant, the patrol members, and Michael are real people. The story is the letter, a copy of the original. A letter from Michael. Dear Mom, I wouldn't dare write this letter to anyone but you because no one else would believe it. Maybe even you'll find it hard, but I've got to tell somebody. But first off, I'm in a hospital. Now, don't worry, you hear me? Don't worry. I was wounded, but I'm okay. You understand? Okay, the doctor says I'll be up and around in a month, but that isn't what I want to tell you. Remember when I joined the Marines last year? Remember when I left, how you told me to say a prayer to St. Michael every day? You really didn't have to tell me that. Ever since I can remember, you always told me to pray to St. Michael the Archangel. You even named me after him. Well, I always have. When I got to Korea, I prayed even harder. Remember the prayer you taught me? Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh court of heaven adorning. You know the rest of it. Well, I said it every day. Sometimes when I was marching, sometimes resting. But always before I went to sleep. I even got some of the other fellows to say it. Well, one day I was with an advanced detail way up forward of the front lines. I was plodding along in the bitter cold. My breath was like cigar smoke. I thought I knew every guy in a patrol, and alongside of me comes another Marine I'd never met before. He was bigger than any Marine I'd ever seen. He must have been 6'4" and built in proportion. Gave me a feeling of security to have such a buddy near. Anyway, there we were, trudging along. Rest of the patrol spread out. Just to start a conversation, I said, "Cold, ain't it?" And then I laughed. Here I was with a good chance of getting killed any minute, and I'm talking about the weather. My companion seemed to understand. I heard him laugh softly. I looked at him. "I've never seen you before. I thought I knew every man in the outfit." "I just joined at the last minute," he replied. "The name is Michael."
"Is that so?" I said. "That's my name, too."
"I know," he said. And then went on, "Michael, Michael of the morning." I was too amazed to say anything for a minute. How did he know my name and the prayer that you had taught me? Then I smiled to myself.
Every guy in the outfit knew about me. Hadn't I taught the prayer to anyone who'd listen? Why, now and then they even referred to me as Saint Michael.
Neither of us spoke for a time, and then he broke the silence. "We're going to have some trouble up ahead." He must have been in fine physical shape, for he was breathing so lightly I couldn't see his breath. Mine poured out in great clouds. There was no smile on his face now. "Trouble ahead," I thought to myself. Well, with the enemy all around us, that's no great revelation. Snow began to fall in great thick globs. In a brief moment, the whole countryside was blotted out, and I was marching in a white fog of wet, sticky particles. My companion disappeared.
"Michael!"
I shouted in sudden alarm. I felt his hand on my arm. His voice was rich and strong. "This will stop shortly." His prophecy proved to be correct. In a few minutes, the snow stopped as abruptly as it had begun. The sun was a hard, shining disk. I looked back for the rest of the patrol. There was no one in sight. We lost him in that heavy fall of snow. I looked ahead as we came over a little rise. "Mom?"
My heart stopped.
There were 7 of them. In their padded pants and jackets and funny little hats. Only there wasn't anything funny about them now. 7 rifles were aimed at us.
"Down, Michael!"
I screamed and hit the frozen earth. I heard those rifles fire almost as one.
I heard the bullets.
But there was Michael, still standing. "Mom, those guys couldn't have missed. Not at that range. I expected to see him literally blown to bits." But there he stood, making no effort to fire himself. He was paralyzed with fear. It happens sometimes, Mom, even to the bravest. He was like a bird, fascinated by a snake. At least, that's what I thought then. I jumped up to pull him down and felt a sudden flame in my chest. I often wondered what it felt like to be hit. Now, I know. I remember feeling strong arms about me. Arms that laid me ever so gently on a pillow of snow. I opened my eyes for one last look. I was dying. Maybe I was even dead. I remember thinking, well, this isn't so bad. Maybe I was looking into the sun. Maybe I was in shock. But it seemed I saw Michael standing erect again. Only this time, his face was shining with terrible splendor. As I say, maybe it was the sun in my eyes, but he seemed to change as I watched him. He grew bigger. His arms stretched out wide. Maybe it was the snow falling again, but there was a brightness around him, like the wings of an angel. In his hand was a sword. A sword that flashed with a million lights. Well, that's the last thing I remember till the rest of the fellows came up and found me. I don't know how much time had passed, but now and then I had a moment's respite from the pain, fever. I remember telling them of the enemy just ahead. "Where's Michael?" I asked. I saw them look at one another. "Where's who?" asked one. "Michael, that big Marine I was walking with just before the snow squall hit us."
Kid, said the sergeant, you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you the whole time. You were getting too far out. I was just going to call you in when you disappeared in the snow. He looked at me curiously. How'd you do it, kid?
How'd I do what?
I asked, half angry despite my wound.
This big Marine named Michael and I were just...
Son, said the sergeant kindly, I picked this outfit myself, and there just ain't another Michael in it.
You're the only Mike in it.
He paused for a moment. Just how'd you do it, kid?
We heard shots.
There hasn't been a shot fired from your rifle. And there isn't a bit of lead in them seven bodies over the hill there. I didn't say anything. What could I say? I could only look open-mouthed with amazement. It was then the sergeant spoke again. Kid, he said gently, every one of those seven bodies over the hill there was killed by a sword stroke. That's all I can tell you, Mom. As I say, it may have been the sun in my eyes. It may have been the cold or the pain. But that's what happened. Love. Michael.
That gets to me every time I hear it. Hey, I'm going to take one of those rare vacations next week. So I'll be back Sunday night, January 2nd. We put you in great, capable hands. Ian Punnett, George Knapp, Rob Simone, John B. Wells. They'll all be handling the shows for you. By the way, we had asked Art to do his prediction show. He's going to spend time with his family. He's winding down, folks. He's winding down. I don't anticipate he'll do any more shows. Have a great Christmas. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Will Wilkerson, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, have a great Christmas, everyone.